It is the 17th day of January. On the phone line with us today to take a look at the marketplace is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I've been on the road all week, and there are a couple of things I need you to bring me up to date on, because the beans for the week garnered a pretty good push to the upside, 38 cents higher in the March contract, November up 25 and a quarter, and they managed to hold that 1099 bottom. What did you make of it all?
Very nice technical week for the beans, and I think this comes in the aftermath of the report and the idea that the bull didn't get fed. You know, that's what we talked about on the Commodity Week program, and at least in my view, was that the bull didn't get fed last week with the USDA report. However, it did get fed with very strong exports again and a very strong surge in the January meal as the meal expired. And so now we have a situation, Todd, I think, where the Brazilian harvest is going to ramp up pretty quickly here in the next couple of 3 weeks, as long as weather allows for it. We've got the Chinese Lunar New Year that started yesterday that lasts for 40 days, and you've got the demand side of the equation waiting to see if we can keep this strong demand pace up or not. So I think, generally speaking, the trade has not moved away at all from what it traded before the USDA report. In other words, it feels good about bean demand. It continues to see good bean demand. It is less sure about corn and wheat demand. And even though we sold some wheat to Egypt yesterday, and even though we saw Egypt buy a lot of corn today and had very good export sales for the week in the corn, the market just is not ready, even though the USDA report would say it's time to reverse thrusters on the spreads, to reverse those thrusters on the spreads, and they take the least line of resistance, and that is buy beans and sell corn, and buy corn and sell wheat right now.
On the soybeans, the new crop managed to gain 25 and a quarter as well. Is that mostly based on deteriorating conditions in South America?
I would like to think that, but then you'd have to say if there's planting delays going on in Argentina or dry pockets in Brazil that's causing problems, you probably have to then introduce the idea that the pollinating corn in Argentina is getting hit even harder and that the second crop, safrina corn, is going to be pushed back even farther. So I don't think South American weather was really traded that much this week, Todd. I think in the wheat market, the U.S. plains weather garnered some mild support with some very cold temperatures being talked about at the end of the month, but I can't see that the beans really found a lot of weather support. I think it really does go back to the demand, and I think wheat is the exact mirror image of the bean market, and that the demand usually puts lows in the market prices, and we saw the wheat go right back down to within just a couple pennies of its report day low around that 560 and a half level in March. So I think beans are really pretty much all about demand, and if that's the case, it's about China demand, and if that's the case, it's about the meal demand. And so China, meal, technicals, I think everything, most paths lead back to the meal. And so the meal chart to me, the weekly and monthly chart, are very, very important as we close out this month and make preparations to make some more 14 bean sales above the 1125 level.
Yeah, March bean meal up $20.90 on the week at $434.50. If this is demand driven based off of meal, does that mean it abruptly ends? Should the South American bean crop, that is, come to a fruition that is in good condition, and how soon would that happen, or is there a different scenario you're looking at?
There is some similarities and some differences, and I think in the seminars that I'll be doing here in the next couple weeks, the 2004 bean market seems to resonate, that we did have difficulty sustaining these price levels after March because we did see the South American crop come on. One of the things that the Argentine situation presents itself and the Brazilian presents itself a little bit differently than back then is the currency situation. Both producers in both those countries are holding on to beans right now. Argentina, because their inflation is getting pretty much out of control, second only to Venezuela as far as their inflation rate right now in the whole world. They're number two. And I think in the case of Brazil, they're waiting to find out what the government's going to do in terms of export taxes and that currency play there as well. So I think those are things that are a little bit different than 2004, but the market price action, I think, could be very similar to where it's very difficult as you get into February to really keep this going. And I think the other thing that I wonder if we're not putting in a little bit too much hope in the Chinese continuing on their bean demand, not just because of South America, but because also the bird flu coming on. I'm seeing more and more types of bird flu come on, and I'm seeing more and more locations around Asia where bird flu and avian flu is starting to take hold. And with this Lunar New Year, they could transmit that in a lot of different places. So I worry that unlike the GMO corn issue, we've gotten that discounted into the market. Maybe we're counting on a little bit too much demand in China as we get into the springtime.
So if we have near-term demand for old crop soybeans, but we may have a large crop coming out of South America yet, I think those are two things you're telling me.
Correct.
Does that mean you have yet penciled in old crop and new crop soybeans again, and when producers might want to make some additional sales for both?
Yeah, I think that once you see that bull spread start to collapse and give way, and that, you know, the July NOV spread is probably the best one because the July and the May contracts would be the South American commodity or the harvest coming in on that contract month. And so if the July NOV bean spread would break back below that 125 to 135 level where we broke out above just last week with the January leading, that would be your first indication it's time to go ahead and let the old crop go, start some new crop sales. And then if you see the need in the March, April time period after a good strong correction to come back in and buy some reownership policies, that'd be fine. I think this is where the bean market is going to, I think, give us several occasions where we can improve our prices on the new crop, because the market, if it's like corn and wheat last year, it's going to move very violently from an inverted market to a carrying charge market once the gig is up and the supplies build. And so I think we could be ready for that and potentially do some good in that respect as well.
All right, that's a good transition. Let's head to the corn market. What is your druthers there?
Well, you've got to hold the 560.5 level in the March wheat if you want the corn to bottom. I think that's one of the main features to what we talked about on Commodity Week last week, one of the main features I put out on the weekend copy. I still think 450 March corn, I still think 450 cash corn is in the cards at this point, Todd, but we could go a lot higher, in my opinion, based upon that model we talk about on the elasticity, if we could get wheat underneath us. We did lose some ground on Argentine weather today, but I think that's more on the July and the May contract again and not so much on the March contract. I think your demand came back this week, and so the downside in the cash, I think, is very limited. We probably have to clean up some of the cash sales that we made in the old crop corn after the report came out, get the pipeline thinned out here in the next week, week and a half, and then I think the cash market will come back pretty nicely.
I believe, but I'm not certain, maybe you can confirm or deny this, that there was pretty good cash movement this week, so the market should have come under some pressure, is that
right? There was, yeah, there was. From Kentucky to Indiana to parts of Illinois, there were long lines, and it seemed like the report day and the pop and the basis during the report really brought out a lot of corn. And I think logistically with the weather and the roads clearing up, you had an extra amount of corn coming on as well.
Well, what do producers do then? They've already made a sale, or many of them probably have, and I think it may have been new sales opposed to deliveries, but maybe you can correct me on that.
I think it was both. I think they really jumped on the 450 December corn price.
Right.
I think, though, they also probably got some of that good basis back booked in when it came to the old crop as well. So my take is continue to keep the pressure on the futures market. In other words, keep the puts in place until you get the wheat bottom and you get the buy signal in that grain index chart, and leave your cash in the bin and wait another week, week and a half. Most of the producers I've spoken with the last week since last week's report, who are very disappointed with the price action, also realize that we did fill up the pipeline pretty nicely. So give it till the end of the month when it comes to the cash old crop.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He joins us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.